G'monu Rabbi say, our limud of Chofetz Chaim every day is as a schus refuah for Yosef Dobin Chayle, he should have a refuah shlema b'soich shocheil Yisrael. So just a couple of practical examples to the two halachas that we learned in the last 2 days. One halacha was that if you see devarim nikorim, if you have suspicions yourself, nobody told you, but somebody is planning to do harm to you, and you have suspicions about it yourself, that even if no one told it to you, you're allowed to make inquiries. You're allowed to ask questions, and the answers you can deal with in the same way as if somebody was telling you Lashon Hara about somebody, that you're allowed to be choshesh in order to protect yourself. An example that was given was somebody who rents out a flat in London to an Israeli couple. And at first they pay the rent, and then slowly they become behind with the rent, and they make excuses, and the rent is mounting up, and he keeps on coming up with excuses as to why he hasn't paid the rent, but the money is coming, and the money is on its way, etc., 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 right? And one day, he sees that there's a whole pile of boxes have arrived from a removal firm. Now, that's Devarim Nikorim. He's got the impression that these people are going to run. They're going to pack their things, they're going to run, maybe back to Israel, and he won't be able to get his rents. So therefore, he's allowed, because he's seen Devarim Nikorim, even though he doesn't know for a fact, but he's allowed to be choshesh that they are intending to abscond without paying the rent, and therefore he's allowed to make inquiries, he's allowed to believe to the extent that he can protect himself, and if necessary, he can call them to a Beis Din, if the Beis Din give permission, call them to court, bailiffs, I don't know what exactly the remedies are. But whatever the remedies are, whatever the possibilities are, yeah, you say he's not going to get the money, but what we're saying is that he's allowed to believe the things that he sees in what's going on. He sees the packing boxes arriving, and he knows there's a removal firm involved.
Why should there be a question about that?
What?
Why should there be any doubt about that?
Because a person has a cheskas kashrus, that's why. A person has a cheskas kashrus, and you're not allowed to suspect. You're not allowed to suspect a person exactly until you see him eating at McDonald's. Right? These people might, let's say, for example, they might say, we're moving to another address around the corner, and of course we'll still pay you the rent. He thinks they're going to Israel, so he'll never get hold of them again.
Why do you bring
example
of the Israeli tenants? Why couldn't you say
it could be French tenants,
Irish tenants,
Rwandan tenants, Israeli tenants, tenants from anywhere else? You know what?
It could have been Danish.
It could even be Scottish or Welsh tenants.
Start your day at Turnaway, Northwest London, Wednesday, Gimel Kislev, 4th December, Rabbi Shlomi Wise, Shlita. Chodosh, facts on the ground. This week's Turnaway sponsored this course, Rafu Shlomi Lechol Chol Yisrael Lechos, Ashavuim Ha'chayolim Ha'melchamo Ha'shech Sula V'tahem, Misholom B'meiro.
Morning, everyone. I usually try to pick a subject that I'm somewhat interested in. I think if anyone at work hears me talking about Chodosh, they'll probably have a good chuckle, because if anything, this might be considered the bane of my existence at this point, which is a very sad thing to say about something which is Torah and a mitzvah, but that's the way it is. I haven't had a chance to prepare exactly what I'm going to say. I pretty much every single time I've spoken here, I run out of time anyway. So I figured I'll just share a few things about Chodosh, and we'll see how far we go. So the first thing, before I talk about facts on the ground, obviously I think it's important to summarize in a very brief way what is Chodosh, and also I think also why it's become more talked about nowadays. So first of all, for those who are interested, the din of Chodosh really is one siman, one short siman in Shulchan Aruch and Yeridah, Reish Tzadi Gimel. There is some discussion, Hilchas Pesach, I think it's Tof Pei Tes. You can have a look there in the Shulchan Aruch, Mishabura, the Meskelim, etc. Okay, so Chodosh is something that, at least when I was young, we knew it from mostly from the Kriyas HaTorah when it came to Yom Tov, Lechem, V'kolib, Karmen, Leit, Sotva, Letzimim, Hazeh. So we knew this theoretical mitzvah that you can't eat certain grain until you get to the second day of Pesach. it would take way more than half an hour to go through all the halachas and through all the nosakelim, obviously, just to briefly explain that there is discussion in the poskim about whether this applies in Chutz La'aretz or not. Gemara Kiddushin, Lamed Vav through to Lamed Zayin through Mishnah, Kol Mitzvah Sheitzlui Ba'aretz Einu Neges Ale Ba'aretz, V'shein Itzlui Ba'aretz Neges Bein Ba'aretz Bein Chutz La'aretz. And the exceptions are, the Gemara, the Tanakam says Chutz Min Ha'arla V'kilayim, and Reb Lezer Oime Af HaChadosh. So Reb Lezer comes along and says Chadosh also, which again there's a debate how to understand this. You can in the Rishonim. So the most Rishonim understand that Chodosh does apply in Chutz La'aretz and it applies Min HaTorah. That is the majority opinion amongst the Rishonim. There are some Rishonim who disagree. There's some Rishonim who say, if you look in the Aruch HaShulchan, he particularly summarizes this at length. The Aruch HaShulchan was a posuk in Nevardok, amongst other places, and he had the difficulty, of course, with just due to climate, that most of the tevua was sown after, most of the grains were sown after Pesach, which meant that you started off at harvest with the tevua being pashtus, being chadosh, if it was at least local tevua, which it usually was, and that was a bit of a problem. Obviously, in Russian winters, you can't, if you did sow anything in the autumn, by the time you get to the winter, it's frozen and nothing will grow. So obviously that was a problem. And he is Mekel, Aruch Hashem was Mekel, others are Mekel. It's interesting that in the Maharil, in the Likutim of the Maharil, in the back, in the old print, I've got this here as Ois Chof Vov. They talk about a certain case there. I couldn't even figure out exactly the year involved. Maharil was born around 1360 and was nifted around 1427 for our Leminyonam. But he talks about the year there, that there was a problem with Pesach being I guess early, and there was quite clear that there was an issue in terms of Chodosh. And they take on there in the Maharil that Issa Chodosh b'chutz la'aretz is derabbanan. He says, "Va'afal gav." There's a dosh. Va'afal gav. Yesh poskim she'ain tzorich lizor b'zeh. You don't need to worry about it. Why? Hoyel debelav hoki issa chodesh b'chutz la'aretz derabbanan. Mikol mokim anshe ma'isa machmir malatzmo. Which is a slightly better because they say it as a dover poshut that it's derabbanan, whereas most rishonim understand steraisa.
You mogen up from. It's a very good point.
So I'll just explain why am I going on about whether it's the rest of the problem. We're not conservative or reformed Jews. We keep Rabbanans as well. The difference is obviously going to be between, do you need to, what about Suffolk de Rabbanon? Suffolk de, now you get to Kloleha, you know, Suffolk and Svek Sveka, right? Ruba or Suffolk, right? Ruba de Issa, come on, Lisa, come on, all these sort of halachas. The Magen Avraham also in Tov Peites also seems to take on that Chodosh is Durabonon rather than being Duraisa. There's a discussion, he says maybe the lands closer to Eretz Yisrael have a din maybe Duraisa. This is a very interesting thing. If you look in the Rambam Surya and Mitzrayim, the Rambam talks about Trumas and Maestras, and he seems to imply that Achiyuvim, actually, there it's the Rabbanon, but the Achiyuvim in Mitzrayim. It's very interesting. The Reb Chaim Kanievsky talks about this in Derech Emunah. The Rambam implies if you lived in Mitzrayim, you actually had to take Trumas and Maestras. It was not the Minog. Mitzrayim was never accepted. And the Reb Chaim Kanievsky brings down a very big Bal Nefesh, someone who's visiting Mitzrayim and goes to the market stall and gets some fruit. Maybe you've got to be choshesh, but it's not Min Hastam. It's not the way you pass him. Anyway,
the Rambam lived there. What did he do?
The Rambam lived there. Very likely, I presume, he was choshesh for his own shitta. I presume, but it was something that wasn't taken on. It seems the minhag Yisrael is not to be choshesh for the Rambam about that, and that wasn't the minhag in Mitzrayim. It seems there's a famous story with the Rosh who coming up to the same Talamata, famous, the Rosh wrote a tshuva on Chol HaMoed, because he felt that the really it's appropriate for people to daven for rain at where that place's country needs rain. Right? Whereas the Minhag has always followed Bovel in Iraq, that we start soon in the beginning of December, I think 60 days after the Tkufa, right? And he says, well, you're davening at a time you don't need it. I'm actually talking to a colleague now who's from South Africa, and he points out that they daven for rain in the summer. They're now in the southern hemisphere. They're going to start saying Senawata, and then there's no need for rain in the summer. But Pashas, the Kavanas on Eretz Yisrael. Okay, these are always questions, but you see that even a great god like the Rosh wasn't listened to, and he and his family did one thing, and he said, even though I've written this tshuva on Chol HaMoed, I don't want there to be machlokes. It's better that everyone does the wrong thing and doesn't listen to me. Rather, there should be a split in the kehillah. There should be machlokes, which was once the priorities of our rabbonim and tzaddikim of once and more time, that the ikkah would be there. Better everyone does wrong than there should be a machlokes. Unfortunately, that isn't the priority necessarily everywhere today. Okay, as I say, I can see already I'm running quickly out of time. So let me just mention a few points, and then we'll move on to some of the more matzias questions. So the Shulchan Aruch itself says that you've got the Issa Chodosh, and it applies. So really, to explain, you've got the life cycle of a grain, and that could start from it starts from Hashrosha. It starts from taking the seed. They're called drilling. It's actually known as drilling, sowing the seed into the ground. And then it takes hold, okay, a klita, and it takes its nishrash. It starts, it obviously, the seed first disintegrates, and then slowly, as the rain, sunshine, whatever it needs, nutrients take hold, it then slowly starts growing, and it takes usually 3 months or so, or 4 months or more to grow. And then you harvest it, you process it into grain, and then further process it into an ingredient. So that could be in many forms. That could be in flour, that could be just flakes, like you have a Quaker oats and that type of thing, your porridge oats. You could have all sorts of things, glucose, and many other ingredients. You'd be surprised what comes nowadays from grain. So it's either grain chamesh saminim, or it could be corn. And that's the general most ingredients. So people talk about citric acid, and if you know, in your school, you may have learned about citric acid from lemon peels or whatever. It hasn't been made from lemon peels for hundreds of years. It's made from grain, usually mostly from China, and usually mostly from corn, but it can also be chometz, can be from wheat, which is why, if you remember, during the COVID era, the London based in worked, I had a small part in it, but mostly Rabbi Conway, Rabbi Shimon Black, and others who worked on trying to find heterim and kulos for people who couldn't make to the shops and wanted to buy food. And one of the questions, even in something very basic like frozen vegetables, can be the addition of citric acid or ascorbic acid and these types of things, which can potentially be chometz. Now, an amount is usually a very small amount, right? But as I say, you know, We try to avoid all chometz on Pesach. We don't rely on bittul even if it's before Pesach. Okay, but in cases of great need, there were room for kulos. In terms of how this affects chodosh, as you can imagine, if a person wants to be machmir for chodosh, it's not just your porridge oats that you may need to can be worried about if you wanted to really be makpid. You'd have to go for many of these ingredients which can come from wheat. Even things like enzymes, right, which are not, you know, technically an ingredient, can be grown on chometz, can be grown on wheat. For a classic example is alpha amylase, which is something that's used in many processes. Again, do you want to then? You know, these things are very hard to track. Should point out something. One thing I said, I think I already corrected myself, but to be clear, there is a difference between the din of chodosh in bittul. So that means that, first of all, there is debate whether you need to worry about kelim. So let's say you cooked up something which was an issa chodosh, and you then want to now cook something which is not. So you may have porridge or something. I just can use porridge as a simple example, so we can all follow with that, even though obviously that's just one minor example. But let's say you had porridge which was chodosh, you cooked it up, and then you want to cook. You manage to get, you realize it's chodosh, or you want to cook another one, so do you have to kash your kelim now? So the Ramah has a tshuva on this, And in the Ramah, it's very interesting that the Ramah seems to say, or it actually quite clearly says, that it's also a Sofik Darabonon. Even though the Pashtus of the Ramah in the Shulchan Aruch doesn't seem to be that way, that it's a Din Darabonon, there he seems to say, and therefore he's Makel regarding Kalim. He's Makel about Bittul Barov and possibly other things, but he says Chodesh Ramadan there is only a Chumra Ba'alma. I can't read everything, but the Mishnah Berurah, if you look in Tov Pei Tes, is more machmeh. He says it should at least be Eina Ben Yoimo. You try and, maybe you have to kasha if it's a huge vat and you're talking about a very big expense to kasha. Maybe you don't have to kasha, but he says you should at least make sure it's nice and tam lefgam. That seems to be the view of the Mishnah Berurah. And of course, the question of how one paskins does differ somewhat with various achsherim, as I say, there can be issues of very large sums of money involved. So, as I've said many times before here, whenever you want to add a chumrah, you have to understand that that doesn't come free of charge, usually. Usually there's a cost to the customer at some point. Anyway, going back to the halachas here, so one of the things that the poskim, both Shulchan Aruch quite clearly, let's say this, the Ramah says this very quickly, that stam tzvua shari, you don't have to worry about chadosh. We can assume that the food that you have is okay, and that's because there's a svek sveka. So even if you assume that there's an issa d'oraisa here, you've got a svek. What's the double doubt? What's the svek sveka? Number one, maybe it's from the previous year, and maybe even if you'll tell me it's from this year, maybe it was planted in time. So let's say you have spring oats. Maybe they were in the ground in time. And many Achronim ask on this Ramah, it doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. It's not a double doubt. The question is simple. Is this Mutter or is this Asr? Meaning, does there have a problem of Chodosh or not?
When how is this? Have to be in the ground? In November, December, in November time.
So that would be a winter crop. Winter crop is usually planted September, actually, more September, October. Yeah. The harvest is from June through to August, usually.
And that would be harvest, wouldn't it?
So that would be the harvest. So planting it in the ground, very often they'll plant it in the autumn, it'll grow through the winter, and they'll harvest it the next summer. You can get cases where, and this is the spring crop doesn't start in spring, it starts just before the spring, end of the winter. It can start as early as January, but usually not. It's usually February, March, April, and it can go into May. So when you've got winter crop, right, then you in the Northern Hemisphere, at least in Europe, in England, in America, winter crop is always fine. It's always fine. Winter crop is always fine. It means you've planted it in the autumn, it's gone through winter, and it's fine. It's gone through Pesach. That's always fine. And I know, for example, I'm going to a factory, Mr. Shem, next week, and the Edechredis go and get their oats from there, from one of their big companies, and they say, we want winter crop only. And that just takes away a lot of the questions. You don't have to start researching, assessing, etc. They just put their foot down. They say, we only want winter crop. Okay, say that. I mean, it may again come at a cost if there has to be dedicated silos or something for it. Okay, that's what they want.
It's always good the time you get to Pesach. It's
gone through Pesach, so therefore you've always, as I tried to explain, that there's when you want to eat whatever it is you're eating that came from grain, it has to at some stage have gone through Pesach from the point it went into the ground. That itself is another point, which I'll come to in a second, just to clarify. Then spring oats or spring wheat or anything like that, those can be put in the ground much closer to Pesach, and sometimes even after Pesach. And if it's put in the ground after Pesach, then you have something called Chodesh, it has to wait till the next Pesach. Okay. The question, practically, so this room, I'm running out of time, so I won't explain the Ramah. There's a very nice piece, anyone wants to look it up. A friend of mine, a colleague, Rabbi Shimon Black, showed me in Harare Ketem, Rosh Lovechik, he explains this Ramah. What's the double doubt here? I thought I would go through it, but unfortunately I'm running out of time. So I think it's Simon Kuf Dalet, if anyone wants to look it up. It's very nice. Going back to this, so if you have, as I say, spring crop, then you have the shaila, how early in the spring was it planted? You have a separate question, which is already here in the Noisa Kalim. You have a look in the Shach. He brings down from the Shulma Sadeshen that it's got to be in the ground 3 days before the Omer, which means three days before the second day of Pesach. And some of the Achronim, the looking Rukiva Eiga, and others are Matzmiya. They don't understand. They say the sugyas don't seem to support this. It's 3 days. Rather, it seems to be 2 weeks. Hashrosha is 2 weeks. So I always had a bit of a difficulty. It's written, if you want a quick run through the base Hillel here on the side. It's a bit small print, but he explains this in detail. There is a sugya where it talks about Klal Yisrael coming into Eretz Yisrael, and that they talk about how they ate matzahs that year, and it does seem to support the Trumas Hadeshen. So everyone's, the Noda B'Yehuda, the Kivega, they're all asking the Trumas Hadeshen. And Baruch Hashem, Baruch Shem Kivanti, it seems that the Be'er Groh seems to suggest this as a chiluk. Meaning, there's a difference between trees, when you're planting a sapling, that might be 2 weeks, whereas Tavua, which is grain, may only be 3 days. That's a possible answer for the Trumas. There are other answers, Mishkas Yaakov, and others answer for the Trumas Hadeshen. And again, I get this question from other Hechsherim, are you makbid for 2 weeks or not? Generally speaking, depends on a lot of the questions about Chodosh depend on the year, it depends on the rain, it depends on the seasons. I'm probably one of the few people who, when I'm going out and walking around in February or March and I see rain, so most people say, oh, I need an umbrella, I need a coat. I'm thinking, oh, the farmers, what's going to be with Chodosh this year? And my headache for after that. The question of Chodosh, as I say, only really comes from when the harvest is in. So if, let's say, you had something planted in May, which is after Pesach, and it gets harvested, let's say, in September, or let's say September, so now, once that new grain comes into the food chain, then you start to get questions. So my questions of Chodosh are really around now, and a little bit earlier, sometimes already from Sukkos, but usually not that quick. But around now is the question when you start getting various Hechsherim emailing me about from all sorts of places, about Chodosh. Okay, just to briefly explain why it is that this has become of interest even more so. So first of all, of course, we know that Baruch Hashem, year on year, certainly decade by decade, there are more Bnei Yeshiva today than ever before, or Zoicha, that there's many more, that a much higher percentage of people go to Yeshiva and learn Baruch Hashem, many people go on to Kollel, etc. So people are just more aware of Halachas, more aware, a little bit of kashrus things and things like that. So it's, you might say it's fashionable. But I heard something very interesting from Rabbi Dr. David Katz in Baltimore, who's a Rav, and he's also, I think, the only from professional Jewish historian. There's a lot of people out there with various podcasts now, but the only one who I know of is an actual professor he's actually a professor of Jewish studies at Johns Hopkins, but he's a historian, is Rabbi Katz, and he explains that after the Second World War, the USDA in America, right, the Department of Agriculture, bought a lot of what were called Liberty ships. These were massive ships that were used in the war, the Second World War, and they had no use for them anymore. And they basically used them as floating silos. So they ended up storing a lot of grain in various ports, in rivers, etc., on the Hudson River and all sorts of places. And for a long time, they had a surplus of grain, and they used to keep it there. And very often, the grain was yoshon. It was old. It wasn't fresh. I mean, it sounds bad, right? It wasn't fresh, but it was kept, and therefore there were no issues of Chodosh. During the Cold War, particularly in 1972, there was a huge crop failure in the Soviet Union, and they very sneakily managed to buy millions of tons of grain from various places from America, and it actually ended up, it was known as the Great Grain Robbery, and they actually ended up with a shortage in America. They didn't realize what was going on, because again, these ships all over the place, and they just ended up selling a lot of their tavua, and they didn't realize, and they had, ooh, actually we need some of this stuff ourselves. Over the time, in the 50s, 60s, 70s, a lot of these Liberty ships were scrapped, so the whole system fell apart as well. So once you got to the 70s already, first of all, there were more Bnei Yeshiva, and second of all, there was more of an issue of Chodosh, because it could be a problem. Baruch Hashem, we're blessed that in this country, for the most part, certainly it does depend on the grain. Wheat used to be a winter crop in this country, and therefore your wheat was never an issue. Today, more and more is being planted in the spring. However, I spoke to a young lady who was part of the Marriages family. You may have heard of Marriages Flower. She works for another company now, but she was explaining that even the spring wheat is generally early. They need a certain amount of time for it to be in the ground for the fertilizer to work. And therefore, although there is a lot of spring wheat in the UK, generally, at least in England certainly, even the spring wheat will be okay. So Baruch Hashem for that, because that's still the main grain for us. When it comes to other items, so it used to be the case, they used to say all rye is always winter, and used to say pretty much spelt as well. However, and I've heard this from other Hechsherim, and it's not actually true any longer. There are now farms in England which are planting rye in the spring. A little bit in Scotland as well, but there's one, I think, in Poland. We came across a bag of rye flour which came to us from Poland to one of the bakeries here, and I had to look into it, and actually that was sort of put on hold. It's very hard to get information, but they do have now spring rye as well, although normally they want cold weather, the rye, but you can plant in the spring.
That will be too late for Pesach, then, you're saying. Planted in the spring, when would it be?
So again, so it depends in the spring when it's planted. So for example, there's a big company that I deal with called Richardson Milling,
yeah.
And they have an agronomist, and he actually tells people, he pushes them, they're particularly known for their oats, he tells people to drill early, put it in the ground February, March. That's what he's pushing for. Donuts doesn't always get his way, but that's where he actually finds that the quality of the crop is better if it's drilled early, which is very good news for us. However, there is no, and maybe this is the main thing I'll just say, with the little time I have left. There are a lot of tzetlach, a lot of signs, a lot of things that I see around, and I don't want to worry anyone too much, because as we've said, Be'etzem, the Shulchan Aruch allows you that Stam Tavoy is allowed. So it's funny, we've come to a stage now where much of these Pashkvilim, these signs, are saying, for those people who are more Machmir than the Shulchan Aruch, etc., here's a list. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, I rather cynically made the joke, well, we might get to the day where the Shulchan Aruch is not an acceptable sefer because it has heterium in it, like Sofik Chodosh, or selling your chametz for Pesach, and all sorts of things that are no longer in vogue. So first of all, the Shulchan Aruch allows it, right? And, you know, we don't find those again. The Nosa Kalim, are you trying to find heterium for things like beer? It's very interesting. It's one of my favorite lines in Halacha, something like, I'm not going to look for it now in the Shach, I think it's in the Taz, or he brings the, in those days, there's Rav Chai Adam Tolib Shia Sheikha. Something like that. It was a very funny line. The life of most of the life of a person is dependent on drinking beer. It's a very interesting line. It means that in those days they didn't necessarily have clean water, clean supply of water, and therefore one way of avoiding things like cholera and other such horrible diseases was to have fermented products where the alcohol would kill off microorganisms. So they didn't really understand maybe the chemistry and the science behind it, but that was one of the ways of doing it. So if you drank beer, you had a safer supply of drink. And therefore, because this was possibly chaye nefesh, there were discussions whether beer might be, there may be more room for kula, because beer is what's called mashkin ayotzin, which is juices that come out from the tour, rather than eating the tavua itself. This really, in general, we don't paskin this way. We just apply the same halacha. So for example, for chometz on Pesach, no one would say, it's mashkin ayotzin, therefore it's not chometz. It's total, beer is total chometz, and you have to get rid of it for Pesach. But when it came to this issa, there were considered the shas etchak, and there were, I say, room for kulas. Because there was such a need for kulas, there's always been this push to be mekel for others. Now we're flipping the other direction. But just to explain that some of these signs are pushing to be machmir in a way. They're saying, even for those who are nizah for some Sofet Chodosh, and everyone thinks, oh yes, I should be there. But really, the information that's given, first of all, I find not to necessarily be accurate, because I gave an example from last year. A certain one of these Hechsherim put out a sign, all English barley is okay. And I'm saying things to myself, that's not correct. First of all, I sent this person some information. There's AHDB, which is the official agricultural board for England and for the UK, and they clearly said there were things which, plenty of barley that was sown late after Pesach. I even showed him from a website of silvery tweed. Silvery tweed is a Berkman tweed, which is has a hechsher of matzah based in, and they don't give it chodosh free. And I said, look, they themselves say they were planting into May. So how can you say that all, and that, okay, it is on the border, but it is in England, and how can you say all English barley as a blank statement, all of it's okay? It's not. I don't find any of these blanket statements to be accurate. You can, and even when you're asking a specific company, I'm not so convinced that it's correct, because, first of all, famously, beginning of Hilchos Taharovos, there's a discussion about the Ner Monos of a Goy, and the Shachan Taz talk about that and say only Nisuri Durabonon is a Goy Nermon, Nisuri Durais is not Nermon. And you'll tell me, oh, well, maybe we pass in here that Chodosh is Durabonon, but even then it has to be Messiah Lefi Tumoy. Which means he has to say it as he's talking without realizing he's saying it. Nobody is asking anyone, a non Jewish person, about Chodosh, Messiah Lefi Tumoy. Right? It sounds bizarre asking them, when did you put the. And you're asking people, usually you're not even asking the farmer himself. There are no records officially kept when grain is sown, and you have to speak to an agronomist or someone and say, he'll tell you, yeah, my farmer's told me this, that, and the other, but it's all ish mipi ish, and it's very much question. There's no nesich of itumai. So the nemonus isn't there really al pi halacha. There is a tshuva of Moshe Feinstein in Yeridea, I think it's Nun Hei, where he talks about the nemonus of factories b'chsav. So if they officially write something, and they have a classic, my example would be a spec sheet, right, for a product, and this is what the nutritional value is, and this is da-da-da-da. Okay, do they have a name? Honestly, he goes through a sugya, and he basically says yes. But even here, what is the pashtus? That's because of umm l'manar nose. It's because, you know, the person doesn't want to be shown up, possibly caught out. Here, there's no way of anyone being caught out. So if the farmer drilled before Pesach or not, and let's say you have a big grain supply like Frontier, who are getting from thousands of farms. The fact that one or two or more, or even 100 planted after Pesach will never be caught out. So you're really relying on the goodwill of these people, and you're relying on, hopefully, that the hechsher in question really did do their thorough homework and really was mevarit 100%. And I'm not sure that that's actually taking place. I've definitely seen cases. I'll tell you just one case of a hechsher that gave a hechsher to malt, which is used for beer, and they wrote Lele Chashash Chodosh. And I said to them, and I actually contacted them. I said, "What's going on here? This isn't correct." And they said, "But yeah, it means you can request batches of Yoshon of Chodosh free." I said, "But your Tuda, your certificate says everything's Lele Chashash Chodosh. That doesn't imply I've got to ask for it just because I'm a Yid and I've got a kosher certificate. You should write, batches of Yoshon are available upon request, not everything's Lele Chashash Chodosh." And again, I didn't really get a satisfactory answer from that hechsher. So I'm not convinced that everything that is said to be Lele Chashash is actually Lele Chashash Chodosh. There's a big push from Israel that everything in Eretz Israel has to be Lele Chashash Chodosh, even from Chodosh Chutz Loretz. And therefore, everything is labeled Lele Chashash Chodosh. I speak to someone recently, Binyamin Shmulevitz, who's a son of Avram Shmulevitz, who's Nifta, grandson of Rechaim Shmulevitz. He told me, he says, in Eretz Yisrael, they know what Chodosh is. Because everything that's sold, pretty much, it says Lele Chashash Chodosh. So unless you look at the packaging, you know a little bit about Chodosh. It's not even a question there, because everything is officially Lele Chashash Chodosh. Whether it actually is Lele Chashash Chodosh or not, that's another question. But, okay, these are, I've run out of time. Just to conclude that, with just a bit of clarity, because I'm going from thing to thing. Meikar Din, Baruch Hashem, we're lucky in England, at least, that a lot of, the majority of Tavua, of all Chamesh Zaminim, is, in fact, winter, or at least will be in the ground long before Pesach. There is a mute of things like oats, sometimes, depending on the year, and particularly barley. The hardest one, probably, I think, is barley, where some of it is. But you've got much of the Shulchan Aruch says, you can be somech that number one, it could be from last year. Here, you would say it's mostly winter, part of the spring. is, as I say, good maybe half and half, depending on what it is. It can often be long before Pesach. And for those who are very nizhar and do want to be machmeh, even for Sofer Chodesh, Chutz Laaretz, we do try to research as much as possible. I know that all KLBD restaurants and all KLBD functions have to be yoshan, and that's, as I say, I know that from first hand because I have to deal with it. So we make sure that that is always thing. And certain products, like Revita, we try to ensure are yoshan. I can tell you that there are three exceptions currently, which are the ones with fruit, the sweeter ones. Muesli, they have some oats which are sprinkled on, which are not, but that's three exceptions. The usual savory Revita, all of them are yoshan. And as I say, with other cereals, we try as much as possible. KLBD's policy is to give a heksher of Sofer Chodesh Chutz Laaretz. However, as I say, if anyone wants to be Mavara specific products, so we are able to do that for you. Okay, Shka.